This week's Crossman Conversation is brought to you by Meeks Capital, Frontier Partners, First Horizon Bank, and Crossman Career Builders.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Before we get started, Mike, I got a quick story for you, man.
John, I love this every week.
Listen to me. I got to tell you this. You know, there are certain moments in your life like you never forget. There's just certain key things that happen.
That's right.
They're really, it's hard even to put words to it. You need different things in your life, right? One of those moments for me was just not that long ago. I had the honor to be in the U.S. Capitol building. And I'm in the building, and it's because they were doing the unveiling of the Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune statue. Okay.
That's pretty cool.
That's a big moment. Big moment in U.S. history. And on top of that, one of the other things unique was, I mean, Nancy Pelosi spoke and Marco Rubio spoke. Like, you had, I mean, the biggest you could think of, Republicans, Democrats speaking back to back, both honoring this woman who I respect so much. And in the middle of all these super famous world known speakers was the president of Bethune-Cookman University. He spoke too. And that guy's our guest today.
He is the guest today.
President Drake from Bethune-Cookman University, who is speaking on the national global scale. Thank you for being here on the show.
Listen, I am so excited to be with you today. And I have to tell you, as you were talking and recalling sort of that day, I can tell you that the moment or the feeling of being able to stand in that building and stand in the stead of our remarkable founder as president was an overwhelming feeling and certainly a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Have you had time to reflect on that? I know, like, I was around you. You let me ride in your car with you, for crying out loud. You were so, you,
yes,
you let me,
right.
I was hitchhiking, you know, right there by the Supreme Court, literally. And you said, John, we will give you a space in the trunk. And it was so nice.
Right.
But, you know, have you had a chance to, like, you're back in your house and you're just kind of hanging out and you're sitting on the couch and you're like, man, that happened. Like, that happened. I mean, just, I don't mean as the president. I mean, you as, you know, a guy. And thinking, wow, that happened, and I was part of it. Have you unpacked that in your own head a little bit?
You know, a little. And I think what was very interesting about that moment is my grandchildren probably were the ones who were able to really bring the moment into focus for me. My 7-year-old grandson and my 9-year-old granddaughter were watching it from California, and. So when I talked to their mom and I said, well, did you see the broadcast? And they said, my granddaughter said, wow, was that Poppy? And her mom said, yeah. And my grandson, of course, said, he said, well, where is Poppy? And she said, he's in the Capitol. And he said, is that right down the street? And it brought it home to me that my grandson, his perspective is that, you know, this is a big deal to a lot of people, but I just see my grandfather. And I thought when he's older, he will remember that moment as just his grandfather. And although for me, it was a big moment, I think the humility of it is that the legacy that moment will leave for me is that my grandchildren will just see their grandfather. And that's really all I want them to see. I don't want them to see the president or anything like that because that's less important. I want them to see, you know, who I am as a person and my character. And that moment was important for them and for the future of our family and not about me being president.
I love that. That is so powerful. And, you know, I had the same kind of thought that, you know, I would hope that my grandchildren one day would visit the U.S. Capitol and know that their grandfather was there. It was there at that moment. And that it's an overwhelming kind of feeling. Real quick, just because, you know, Mike, I probably should say this just because our listeners may not know this, right? But in the U.S. Capitol, our government's capital, there are two statues that represent every single state, two people from each, you know, state. And some of them are really well known. Some of them are not as known, right? And so in the state of Florida, we had two. We had the a gentleman that invented air conditioning, which I think we can all praise him every day. We believe in that guy. And then the second one was a really obscure Confederate general. He was the last general to surrender to the Union. And then when he surrendered, he moved to Mexico. Like, he barely lived in her state. I mean, I have never met anyone who ever knew the guy's name or anything. And so years ago, the people leadership in Florida removed that statue because it just didn't make any sense. It was not, you know, didn't make sense of who we are today. And so there was this huge, all this research done, all these discussions. And one name that was floated was the founder of Publix was actually one of the names. I actually told some Publix executives recently that came up. Somebody was speaking at the thing and talked about that. But the person they landed on was Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune. Mm-hmm. And knowing that, you know, it wasn't like a political thing that pushed her. It was historians. It was historians. And to me, one of the just blew my mind moments, because I'm a history guy, I got to meet the granddaughter of Eleanor and Franklin Roosevelt.
Mm.
And she was on stage with President Drake. You know, it's like, again, he's with all these historic people. It's so cool. But, you know, when we were there, there were so many people from around the country and so many historians. Like President Drake, we had that event. Oh, gosh, what was it? Where were we at where they had all the historic artifacts about Mary McLeod Bethune? Where was that?
So that was in, they had it in the symposium.
The Library of Congress. Library of Congress,
they
right?
They had it at the Library of Congress as well, yes.
Yeah, and both. So all those things and historic documents. So this was a major moment in U.S. history, and there's no way you could deny the significance for our state, right? And so,
right.
And so again, people that don't know our history, obviously every Floridian should be learning about her all throughout school, but, you know, she was a big darn deal. And you're talking, she was a big deal 40 years, you know, before the Civil Rights Movement, she was a big deal, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
All that she did. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, she was an incredible human being. And what I marvel about her, there's many things I do, but one of the things that is so interesting is that she clearly was an entrepreneur.
I mean,
she founded an insurance company. She was concerned about the health and well-being, and she helped found a hospital here on campus. She was a civil rights pioneer, as you mentioned, a suffragette, concerned about voting rights for women in particular. She was a world traveler in the sense that she, you know, was on the delegation to help write the charter for the United Nations. I mean, this woman was just remarkable, and to think that her parents were slaves, one of 17 kids herself, and to think that she had that kind of vision in 1904, and then to look and fast forward to today, a university that's 118 years old this year, that still stands for all of the things that she believed in. And my job as president is to ensure that we not only protect that legacy, but also to fast forward many of the things that she cared about, the ethos of our institution, to the 21st century. And every day, that's the challenge that I wake up to. And you know, I am certainly a person of faith and believe that I'm here because that's what I'm being asked to do.
That's got to be a big weight. Do you feel that? Do you feel a sense of like, man, this is a huge responsibility?
Well, I do feel it's a tremendous responsibility, but, you know, you also being a person of faith, John, you know that there is no task that's too big for God. So if you can rely on your faith, as our founder did, because she certainly believed there was no way that anyone was going to deter her from what she believed her purpose was, and that was to create the foundation for this institution. But it was our faith that got her there, because there were many times when I'm sure it didn't look like that was going to happen. My job today is the same. And there are days when, you know, I look at it and in the natural, it doesn't seem like what we want to do is possible. But I am confident that we will get where we need to be and where we need to go. And The unveiling of the statue was an opportunity for us to reintroduce this institution and the legacy of our founder to the world.
After you got done speaking and then we all got to go up there and have different turns take pictures of the statue, and that was so cool. I was waiting in line, and you know, I'm a chatty guy. I don't know if you know that about me, President Drake. I'm a chatty guy. I like to meet people and learn about people. Oh, by the way, side note, you know, I got to have lunch that day with your granddaughter. That was funny.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
and I got to hang out with her. And she's a smarty McSmart like you. She's a smarty, that one. She's cool. Very cool. But So when I'm waiting in line, the woman behind me, I'm kind of chatting with her, and turns out she was one of the curators for the statue when it was in Daytona and all the work they're doing. And so I never met this woman before, probably want to see her again. And I said, well, you know, so you had to become a kind of expert on Dr. Mary McLeod-Bethune. And she said, yes. And I said, well, if you just had to explain her in one sentence, like one thing, what would you think was core that defined her? And didn't miss a beat. She said it was her faith. And so, you know, to me, it's like, if you're a Floridian, you need to know who this person is. If you're a Christian, you need to know who this person is. If you're a woman, you need to know who this person is, right? You know, if you're a person of color, like, it's so many categories, and it checks so many boxes of things.
Yeah.
It's just so crazy, ridiculously powerful. And again, you talk about being, her parents were slaves, and then she's working with the President of the United States. It's that is just so unbelievable. Unbelievable, right?
Yeah. I mean, four presidents and one that you didn't include, but I know you know well enough to know you thought about it, and that if you're an American, you
yes.
want to know.
Yes.
Who she is.
Well, it's the epitome of the American dream, right? It's the epitome.
So she checks all the boxes.
All the boxes.
And I think from my vantage point, it is very important to ensure that our young people that we welcomed over 1,000 new freshmen the last 10 days or so. And in bringing those young people to campus, I had an opportunity to spend time with all of them in a president's assembly to welcome them to the campus and to share with them some thoughts about our expectations of them and make sure they share their expectations of us as an institution. But it goes without saying that since 63% of our population is female, I wanted to make sure that they understood whose shoulders they stand on.
That's awesome.
And that is Dr. Mary McLeod-Bethune. And she was a woman of grace and a woman of dignity, a woman of character, a woman of ingenuity. But bottom line, she was a woman of faith.
Amen. We're going to have to take a quick break, but we're going to come back. And then I want to talk about this university you work at, President Drake. I want to talk about that. That's what's coming up next, yes. Okay? All right.
Thank you.
Just John Crossman, The Crossman Conversation. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Are you willing to serve communities in crisis around the world? To people who are impoverished, oppressed, and persecuted? Frontier Partners International offers mission opportunities in areas least served to meet the needs of the helpless, the hapless, and hopeless. To learn how you can be a partner of this frontline ministry with your time, talent, or treasure, visit frontier-partners.org. That's frontier-partners.org.
It's said that it's not how much money you make, it's how much you keep and use to plan for your future. Nathan Meeks, principal at Meeks Capital, combines leading investment techniques with modern financial planning software to be the resource you turn to for clear, objective, and sound financial advice. For a no-obligation consultation, call Nathan at 407-494-5439 or visit meekscapital.com.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Here's a call to those who want to make an impact on their company, their community, or who possess a desire to make the world a better place. Crossman Career Builders provides the tools and resources for you or your company to make a difference on some of the toughest issues that we all face. Crossman Career Builders partners with CEOs, politicians, and pastors seeking to address problems of racism, mental health, addiction, justice, and suicide. CrossmanCB.com.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
The Crossman Conversation with my good friend, President Drake from Bethune-Cookman University. And you know, President Drake, I grew up, I knew about Bethune-Cookman before I knew any other university existed. I have been a lifelong fan. And you know this, when my dad was with hospice in his final breath, when asked what he wanted done in his memory, he said he wanted to have a scholarship at Bethune-Cookman University. And we have it there. That happened.
Yes. We are so grateful. I mean, your family has been, you know, just a tremendous supporter. And of course, you being who you are, have followed in your dad's footsteps in every way. And certainly the university is grateful. And we hope to actually launch a new endowed scholarship for your mom. In the commercial real estate industry for our major concentration area in commercial real estate, which would be housed in the College of Business and Entrepreneurship, which I also get the privilege of leading in addition to being the president. So I'm really excited about that, too, because that's just another extension of the Crossman's family's commitment to this institution.
Well, we're all about it. I think it's going to look like three scholarships. That's what I think it's going to look like. I think moms will do some of those.
Great.
But by the way, I know she's listening to this, so mind your P's and Q's. She gets she listens to every show.
For sure.
She lets me know. So tell us about the university. So you said you had 1,000 freshmen coming in. This is it's a historically black college university. It's a private one and it's a Christian one. These are all challenge boxes located in the beautiful Daytona Beach, Florida. So tell us just a little bit more about Bethune-Cookman. If somebody doesn't know it, the university itself, what else do they need to know about this outstanding university?
Well, of course, once you get past the notion of understanding a bit about our founder and you know, John mentioned a number of things that sort of go along with how this organization, this institution came to be. We are an institution that is in probably the evolution and pivot evolution of itself because we are moving rapidly into the 21st century. We have really adopted this new way of looking at our institution by launching what we call Reimagining BCU. And Reimagining BCU really is our opportunity to examine everything from our academic enterprise to our technological platforms to our financial frameworks and, of course, our enrollment strategy. And all four of those things really form the four most important pillars of how this institution should operate for the next 118 years. What we know is that we have a different kind of student. 71% of our students come from low-income households. 80% of our students have to borrow to come to college. And only 59% of our students actually are able to pay their college off in 7 years versus a much larger number, 89%, for the general population of those who attend other universities. So we have some unique challenges here. But that said, we have some incredible students that go here as well. And Dr. Bethune used to talk about, you know, finding diamonds in the rough, and we find them all the time here at BCU. I'm incredibly proud and honored to serve as its president because what I know is at this stage of my life, this is the best job that I could ever have. I get a chance to engage with students every day, and what I hear them say and talk about is the future that they'd like to have. And our job as an institution is to give them that future by providing an experiential learning framework for them to grow and develop, to be courageous. But most importantly, we want them to be curious. We want them to enter to learn and depart to serve, which was part of the ethos that our founder said. And we want to do that in a way that is demonstrating to them and to the world that they are committed to lifelong learning, that they have the competencies and skills that they need to thrive, and that they will selflessly use their skills and experiences to change the world. We want that instilled in every student because of our Christian ethos, but also just because we believe that's an important component to making humanity greater. And every institution, including ours, has to do its part.
You know, if you think about frontline workers, you know, people who are like nurses in an ER, like dealing with like those issues, or, you know, somebody that's dealing with the issue of homelessness. And one of those categories you'd say is teachers, and teachers in schools that are, you know, has more high risk kind of things, kids that are in middle of situations. There's a lot of those teachers are Bethune-Cookman University grads. I know that. And so if you go places where a heart to serve is needed, you'll find BCU grads in those spots, right?
Absolutely.
And you're going to keep, you're going to find them in some other spots too, but that needs, that needs to be noted.
And I was a kid that, at 16, I was homeless, living on the street. There was no, I had no desire or interest, frankly, in going to college, but, you know, I had a grandmother who was one of 20 children herself, who said that she would not stand for anything less than that, even though there was really no money to do that. And I had a chance, because I was a good student, not a great student, but I was a good student. I had a chance to go to Harvard, but I chose an HBCU to go to. And I'll tell you, you know, that I look back on those years and I look at the fact today, you know, I have a number of degrees and I've had a number of great experiences as a career. It was that historically black college that gave me the kind of security and the kind of friendships that, that endure today. I think that is true for many of the students who come to our institution. And so I see myself every day when I walk out of the office or when I'm riding around campus. I was just out this morning looking at some of our facilities with our board chair, and I will tell you that I see these kids, I see myself in these kids every day. But it makes me smile. It makes me proud because I know what's possible. I know what can be. And if we give them this kind of learning experience, but at the same time help bolster their faith and who they are and who their creator is, then there's probably no limit to what they can do. And Dr. Bethune knew that.
Well, listen, you are one impressive human being, and your own story, it really makes the whole point, right? And, you know, one of the things I think about, and sometimes in society and situations, like what would the absence of that thing be, right? Like if we lost a couple of our hospitals, you know, that would be a big problem. But if we lost TikTok, I don't know that that our world would be a bad place, right? Right? Like, or Real Housewives of whatever. I mean, there's certain things that if they left the planet, I don't know. I don't know that we'd miss it, right? But if our state lost Bethune-Cookman, right? I don't know that people really get it, that what that would mean. It would be a problem. It would be
a problem. Yes, yes.
And so people need to understand that, that when we're thinking about, a lot of times, you know, you're a business guy and you think in ROI, and like some people think about investing, like, you know, I grew up in a household that if something was happening in on the TV, we were involved. A lot of people and people, I hear this, I say this all the time. A lot of people seem to think, I tweet, therefore I am. Like if I tweet something, that's currency. And I'm more about, no, it's what you do. And I always want to tell people, like, if you're watching problems in society, you think someone should sue to something, well, that's you. And if you invest in Bethune-Cookman, you're investing in something that's transformational and really making our state a better place. Is that true?
Yeah, no question about it. Listen, I think your point about, you know, the evidence of loss. You know, if you lost something, what could replace it, or what value would it have, or would it be missed? There are thousands and thousands of young people that come to this institution because they see a beacon of light. They see a way to a better way. We can't afford to lose that in any of our institutions. In fact, I think the strength of America, you know, when Reagan talked about, you know, this light on a hill, you know, it is, while we don't sit on a hill, this institution is that kind of light. You know, there's certainly scripture about this notion of being salt versus light. We really should cherish the institutions that help not only the state be better, but our nation be better.
That's true.
One of the things that I got a notion of when I was in the business side of things, is I said, you know, what if on our balance sheet we actually would be able to monetize human capital? Now, we, on our balance sheet, we look at asset and asset performance, but we always look at people, or we tend to look at people as an expense, or as something that you can sort of discard if you need to, or reduce if you need to. But here's the reality. What I know about what Dr. Bethune actually was trying to do is she was trying to elevate the importance of human capital. She was trying to say that if you took advantage of every person's potential, that there is no limit to what any institution could accomplish. I believe that about this institution, and I think every person that comes here, our job, our faculty, our staff, certainly the leadership, we have to be focused on making sure that we give every opportunity for every person we touch to be the best version of themselves. And in that, we produce an asset that this state and this nation and the world can benefit from.
That is awesome. Thank you. Thank you, President Drake, for your leadership and your service and your story. And I'm so grateful you were there at the Capitol, and I'm so grateful you're there in Daytona and doing what you're doing. So thank you for being on the show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me, John.
Pray for Bethune-Cookman University and think about ways that you can help serve and help mold those young minds at such a great place. With that, this has been John Crossman and the Crossman Conversation. And as always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.